ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायम् उदीरये. We're continuing with our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we left off at Canto 5, Chapter 19, and we're now taking up again where we left off at text number 6. Of all self-realized souls, he is their most intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife. He have given up his wife and Lakshmana, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. Render transcendental loving service unto him. He is attached to the truth in life, not the brahminical qualities. Indeed, he is never attached to any material qualities. Although he is the supersoul of all living entities, he is specifically manifest to those who are self-realized, and he is especially dear to the hearts of his transcendental devotees. Because Lord Ramachandra descended to teach human society how dutiful a king should be, he apparently gave up the company of Mother Sita and Lakshmana. Factually, however, he could not have given them up. One should therefore learn about the activities of Lord Ramachandra, have not taken noble births, although we have no physical beauty, and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramachandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends. Purport: in a prayer to Krishna expressing her feelings, Srimati Kunti Devi called him a Kinchana Gochara. The prefix a means not, and Kinchana Kola Becha Shiva Kera Deka Bhakya Shima Rama Deva Kande Jar Dekya Mahima Dani Jani Pandite Krishneri Nahipai Kebala Bhaktira Bosh Chaitanya Gosai. Behold, Lord Brahma and Lord Greatness. One cannot attain Lord Krishna by any amount of wealth, followers, or learning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is controlled only by pure devotion. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very sincere devotee whose name was Kolavecha Sridhar, and whose only business was to sell pots made of the skin of banana trees. Whatever income he had, he used 50% for the worship of Mother Ganges, and with the other 50% he provided for his necessities. Can become a most exalted devotee of the Lord. The conclusion is that one cannot attain shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Gosai through material opulence. That shelter is attainable only by pure devotional service. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmanya navritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktam. Appears on this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for he accepts even a small service offered by his devotee. Thus he is satisfied, and as soon as he is satisfied, the devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Sri Ramachandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead, Vaikuntha. Purport: Lord Sri Ramachandra is so kind and merciful to his devotees that he is very easily satisfied by a little service rendered by anyone, human or not. This is the special advantage of worshipping Lord Ramachandra. And there is the same advantage in worshipping Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Krishna and Lord Ramachandra, in the manner of Kshatriyas, sometimes showed their mercy by Krishna of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The best purpose of human life can be fulfilled by worshipping the Shadbhuj Murti. The form of the Lord was six arms, two arms of Ramachandra, two arms of Krishna, and two arms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 9. This is of the Supreme Personality of God. It's a banjo. He has appeared in the form of Narnarayan in the land of Bharatvarsha, at the place known as Bhadrikashram, to favor his devotees by teaching them religion, knowledge, renunciation, spiritual power, sense control, and freedom from false ego. He is advanced in the opulence of spiritual assets, and he engages in executing austerity until the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this age, there are different forms of so-called advanced scientific knowledge, such as anthropology, Marxism, Freudianism, nationalism, and industrialism. But if we work very hard under their guidance, instead of adopting the process practiced by Narnarayan, we shall waste our valuable human form of life. Thus we shall certainly be cheated and misled. 10. In his own book, known as Narada Pancharatra, Bhagavan Narada has very vividly described how to work to achieve the ultimate goal of life, devotion, through knowledge and through execution of the mystic yoga system. He has also described the glories of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The great sage Narada instructed the tenets of this transcendental literature to Sarvani Manu, in order to teach those inhabitants of Bharatvarsha who strictly follow the principles of Varnashrama Dharma how to achieve the devotional service of the Lord. Thus Narada Muni, along with the other inhabitants of Bharatvarsha, always engages in the service of Narnarayan, and he chants as follows. Purport, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has clearly declared, Bharata bhumete hoila manusha janma jar, janma sarta kari kara para upakar. The real success of or fulfillment of the mission of human life can be achieved in India, Bharatvarsha, because in Bharatvarsha the purpose of life and the method for achieving success are evident. People should take advantage of the opportunity afforded by Bharatvarsha, and this is especially so for those who are take to the principles of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and the four orders of spiritual life, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. There can be no question of success in life. Unfortunately, because of the influence of Kali Yuga, everything is now being lost. The inhabitants of Bharatvarsha are gradually becoming degraded lechas and yavanas. How then will they teach others? Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement has been started not only for the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha, but for all the people of the world, as announced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is still time, and if the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha take this movement of Krishna consciousness seriously, the entire world will be saved from gliding down to a hellish condition. The Krishna consciousness movement follows the process of Pancharatrika Vidhi and that of Bhagavat Vidhi simultaneously, so that people can take advantage of the movement and make their lives successful.
Can I ask this question?
Question, yes.
How is it exactly that the purpose of life and the method for achieving success are evident in Bharatvarsha?
Because people know automatically that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, at least they know that you're not your body, and that there's a continuum, and that people generally have a sense that it's okay to worship the Supreme.
And at least they know we're not the body. That's what you're saying, right?
To a greater extent than in many places, yeah.
There's also so many places of pilgrimage where everywhere you go, you see Krishna's name. They name anything after Krishna. Everybody's got a name of Krishna, or one of his, you know, incarnations, or something related to Krishna. And in every way, Krishna is permeating the atmosphere.
I guess I was just thinking, it seems...
In the school, they learn, you know, Bhagavad Gita, they learn the Chandika Pandit's aphorisms, and they get educated from the beginning about Krishna consciousness. Mm. Even when they go to learn the arithmetic, when they say addition, they go yoga. Yoga means add. Mm. It permeates, and the whole culture is permeated with it.
Yeah, I was just thinking, it seems pretty evident to maybe us, but a lot of people that I meet in India, at least, it seems like it's gone completely over their head. And
well, there's a lot of people in India. You only get to meet a small fraction.
A small fraction.
Divyanam Prabhu, you had a point?
It was very similar to what
Mohan. Very similar.
But it's true, a lot of times people come from India and
because it's, Prabhupada said, sometimes yogis live by the Ganga, and then they think, oh, it's just the Ganga, I'll go somewhere else to take bath. And somewhere more holy.
Or no, they go to Ganga's fuller farther up the river.
Yeah.
They go from Calcutta to Haridwar, they there.
Yeah.
So it's falling, it's going down, definitely the culture is getting lost. It's called yuga, it's everywhere. But still, there's an unmistakable vibration underlying it, yeah. You know, that helps.
Otherwise, right now there wouldn't be a Christian conscious movement if it wasn't for the people born in Bharatvarsha.
It's similar to that point, Prabhuji. The inherent Vedic culture, which is being passed down through many ages in India, and due to the many sages who were all born and our acharyas who have traversed this part of the world, Bharatvarsha, and generally the people are very conscious of the karma kanda and the whole karma process, and they're very conscious, and they may be also worshipper of the demigods through which they collect piety, which helps them come closer to Krishna and have a general conception, as you said, for that they are Atma, they're not the body, and just fanning that spark a little bit and giving them the clarity helps them take it a little bit seriously. That's all. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Text 11.
Ready? Ready, go ahead. I got you.
Text 11. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Nara Narayana, the best of all saintly persons, the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the most self-controlled and self-realized. He is free from false prestige. And he is the asset of persons who have no material possessions. He is the spiritual master of all Paramahansas, who are the most exalted human beings, and he is the master of the self-realized. Let me offer my repeated obeisances at his lotus feet. Text 12. Narada, the most powerful saintly sage, also worships Nara Narayana by chanting the following mantra. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this visible cosmic manifestation. Yet he is completely free from false prestige. Although to the foolish, he appears to have accepted... Did I skip something?
No.
No. Okay. Although to the foolish, he appears to have accepted a material body like us, he is unaffected by bodily tribulations like hunger, thirst, and fatigue. Although he is the witness who sees everything, his senses are unpolluted by the objects he sees. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that unattached, pure witness of the world, the Supreme Soul, the Personality of Godhead. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described as Satchidananda Vigraha, the body of eternity, transcendental bliss, and full knowledge. Now in this verse, he is more fully described. Krishna is the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation, yet he is unattached to it. If we were to construct a very tall skyscraper, we would be very attached to it. But Krishna is so renounced that although he has created everything, he is not attached to anything. Nabhajyate. Furthermore, although Krishna has his transcendental form, Sachidananda Vigraha, he is not disturbed by the bodily necessities of life, which are called dahika. For example, he is never thirsty, he is never hungry, thirsty, or fatigued, dahanyate, dehagato. Everything is Krishna's property everywhere. But because his body is transcendental, he is above vision, the object of vision, and the process of vision. When we see something beautiful, we are attracted. The sight of a beautiful woman immediately attracts a man, and the sight of a man naturally attracts a woman. Krishna, however, is transcendental to all these faults. Although he is the seer of everything, he is not afflicted with faulty vision. Nadrig yasigunar vidushyate. Therefore, although he is the witness and seer, he is aloof from all affection for the activities he sees. He is always unattached and separate. He is only a witness. Text 13. O my Lord, master of all mystic yoga, this is the explanation of the yogic process spoken of by Lord Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, who is self-realized. At the time of death, all yogis give up the material body with full detachment simply by placing their minds at your lotus feet. That is the perfection of yoga. Purport. Srila Madhvacharya says, Yasya samyak bhagavati jnanam bhakti stitaccha nischintas tasya moksha syat sarapapa krito pitu. For one who very seriously practices devotional service during his lifetime in order to understand the constitutional position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, liberation from this material world is guaranteed, even if he has previously been addicted to sinful habits. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Apichet sudiracharo bhajate mam mananyama sadureva samantavya samyak yavasito hisaha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. The only purpose of life is to be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, in his form, pastimes, activities, and qualities. If one is able to think of Krishna in this way 24 hours a day, he is already liberated. Sarupena vyabhastitihi. Whereas materialists are absorbed in material thoughts and activities, devotees, on the contrary, are always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and Krishna's activities. Therefore, they are already on the platform of liberation. One has to think of Krishna with full absorption at the time of death. Then he will certainly return home, back to Godhead, without a doubt. Text 14. Materialists are generally very attached to their present bodily comforts, and to the bodily comforts, and to the bodily comforts they expect in the future. Therefore, they are always absorbed in thoughts of their wives, children, and wealth, and are afraid of giving up their bodies, which are full of stool and urine. If a person engaged in Krishna consciousness, a waste of time. At the time of death, a materialist thinks of his wife and children. He is absorbed in thinking of how they will live and who will take care of them after he leaves. Consequently, he is never prepared to give up his body. Rather, he wants to continue to live in his body to serve his society, family, friends, and so on. Therefore, by practicing the mystic yoga system, one must become detached from bodily relationships. If despite practicing bhakti yoga and studying all the Vedic literature, one is afraid of giving up his bad body, which is the cause of all his suffering, what is the use of his attempts to advance in spiritual life? The secret of success in practicing yoga is to become free from bodily attachments. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Deha Smriti Nahi Yar Sangsara Bandhana Kahantara. One whose practice has freed him from the anxieties of bodily needs is no longer in conditional life. Such a person is free from conditional bondage. A person in Krishna consciousness must fully discharge his devotional duties without material attachment. Then his liberation is guaranteed. Text 15. Therefore, O Lord, O Transcendence, kindly help us by giving us the power to execute bhakti yoga so that we can control our restless minds and fix them upon you. We are all infected by your illusory energy. Therefore, we are very attached to the body, which is full of stool and urine, and to anything related to the body, related with the body. Except for devotional service, there is no way to give up this attachment. Therefore, kindly bestow upon us this benediction. Purport. The Lord advises in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Manjaji Imam Namaskuru. The perfect yoga system consists of always thinking of Krishna, always engaging in devotional service, always worshipping Krishna, and always offering obeisances unto Him. Unless we practice this yoga system, our illusory attachment for this bad body, which is full of stool and urine, is impossible to give up. The perfection of yoga consists of giving up attachment for this body and bodily relationships and transferring that attachment to Krishna. We are very attached to material enjoyment, but when we transfer that same attachment to Krishna, we traverse the path of liberation. One has to practice this yoga system and none other.
Text 16, in the tract of land known as Bhartvarsha, as in Ilavritavarsha, there are many mountains and rivers. Some of the mountains, Prastha, Kut, Rishabha, Kutaka, Kolaka, Sahya, Devagiri, Rishamukha, Sri Shaila, Venkata, Mahindra, Varidhar, Vindhya, Shuktiman, Rikshagiri, Hariyatra, Drona, Chichakut, Govardhana, Raivataka, Kukuba, Nila, Gokamukha, Indrakila, and Kamagiri. Besides these, there are many other hills with many large and small rivers flowing from their slopes. Two of the rivers, the Brahmaputra and the Shona, are called nadas, or main rivers. These are other great rivers that are very prominent. Chandravasa, Tamrapani, Avatoda, Krutamala, Vaihayasi, Kavari, Veni, Payasvini, Sharkavarta, Tungabhadra, Krishnavenya, Bhimarati, Godavari, Nirvindya, Payoshni, Tapi, Reva, Surasa, Narmada, Charmanvati, Mahanadi, Vedasmriti, Rishikulya, Trishama, Kaushiki, Mandakini, Jamuna, Saraswati, Drishtavati, Gomati, Sarayu, Rodasvati, Saptavati, Shushoma, Shatadru, Chandrabhaga, Maruvrida, Vitasta, Asikni, and Vishva. The inhabitants of Bhartvarsha are purified because they always remember these rivers. Sometimes they chant the names of these rivers as mantras. And sometimes they go directly to the rivers to touch them and bathe in them. Thus the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha become purified. Purport. All these rivers are transcendental. Therefore, one can be purified by remembering them, touching them, or bathing in them. This practice is still going on. 19. The people who take birth in this tract of land are divided according to the qualities of material nature. The modes of goodness, sattva-gun, passion, rajagun, and ignorance, tamagun, some of them are born as exalted personalities, some are ordinary human beings, and some are extremely abominable. For in Bharatvarsha, one takes birth exactly according to one's past karma. If one's position is ascertained by a bona fide spiritual master, and one is properly trained to engage in the service of Lord Vishnu, according to the four social divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and the four spiritual divisions, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, one's life becomes perfect. Purport. For further information, one should refer to Bhagavad Gita 14.8 and 18.42-45. Vedanta Sangrahana, the great sage Parashurama Muni has recommended, Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Aradite Panta Nanyat Tattho Shakaranam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashrama. There is no other way to satisfy the Lord. In the land of Bharatvarsha, the institution of Varnashrama Dharma may be easily adopted. At the present moment, certain demoniac sections of the population of Bharatvarsha are disregarding the system of Varnashrama Dharma because there is no institution to teach people how to become Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, or Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis. These demons want a classless society. This is resulting in chaotic conditions. In the name of secular government, unqualified people are taking the supreme governmental posts. No one is being trained to act according to the principles of Varnashrama Dharma, and thus people are becoming increasingly degraded and are heading in the direction of animal life. The real aim of life is liberation, but unfortunately the opportunity for liberation is being denied to people in general, and therefore their human lives are being spoiled. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, is being propagated all over the world to re-establish the Varnashrama Dharma system and thus save human society from gliding down to hellish life. 20. After many, many births, when the results of one's pious activities mature, one gets an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. Then one is able to cut the knot of bondage to ignorance, which bound him because of varied fruitive activities. As a result of associating with devotees, one gradually renders service to Lord Vasudeva, who is transcendental, free from attachment to the material world, beyond the mind and words, and independent of everything else. That bhakti yoga, devotional service to Lord Vasudeva, is a real path of liberation. Purport, Brahman realization is the beginning of liberation. And Paramatma realization is still further advancement toward the realm of liberation. But one achieves real liberation when he understands his position as an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Muktir hitva yata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi. In the material world, in the bodily concept of life, everyone is working in the wrong direction. When one becomes Brahmabhuta, spiritually realized, one understands. How come it says Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30:20? When one becomes Brahmabhuta, I guess that's, huh? What's that verse? Could somebody switch over and look at it?
We're looking it up, we got it here.
Yeah, it is. It is about Brahmabhuta.
Always.
What's the verse?
Should I do the
4:30:20.
What's the Sanskrit? Is it famous verse?
Nabhya Tataya Yagno Brahmate Brahma Vadibi Na Muyanti Na Sochanti.
Is it quoted by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the purport? In his commentary? always engaging in the activities, the all know, no? How did it then appear all of a sudden? Some other commentary. Samyaprash.
I don't know.
Can you find out? When one becomes Brahma-bhuta, 4.30.20, spiritually realized, one understands that he's not the body and that working in the bodily concept of life is useless and misdirected. Then his devotional service begins. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 1854, Brahma-bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kankshati samaksardeshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Devotional service is actual liberation. When one is attracted by the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his mind is always engaged at the Lord's lotus feet, he is no longer interested in subjects that do not help him in self-realization. In other words, he loses all attraction for material activities. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, it is said, Esha hivan evananda yati yada hivaisha etasminna drishye natmye anirukte ilayane bhayam pratishtam vindate taso bhayam gato bhavati. A living entity becomes established in spiritual blissful life when he fully understands that his happiness depends on spiritual self-realization, which is the basic principle of ananda, bliss, and when he is eternally situated in the service of the Lord, who has no other Lord above him.
4.30.20?
4.30.20, yes.
It's the translation kind of defines the Brahma-bhuta stage, which is why that reference is there.
Exactly.
These square references are inserted for the reader. They're not part of the original
That's
transcript,
right.
But it's an indication of where in the
That's
Shastra
right.
you can
it's
find
put it. It's put in by the database.
It's these references in square brackets.
Really, the Prabhupada didn't put that in there?
So it's
just,
don't know.
It's just a link to another place.
It's a link
That's
to
right.
a relevant topic.
Or a relevant
for example,
verse.
Earlier in the sentence,
who decided that was the link?
It is the link. It defines the Brahma-bhuta stage.
No, I know that. I'm just saying, who made the link? People make links. Life comes from.
What's his name? the one that was working with the archives.
Ranjit?
No. He used to be Bhakti Eddie. He went to Cambridge. I was with him in London for quite some time. Not Ekana.
Eddie Gasbeck.
Yeah, Eddie Gasbeck.
That's Ekana.
No, there's another Eddie. Younger.
There couldn't be two Eddies.
It's okay. Everything. Since the.
Well, who are you talking about then?
Do you want me to go on and figure it out? I can't remember his name. He got initiated by you know who.
Now I know for sure. All right, go right ahead.
Keep me going. I'll give you more details. Since the human form of life is the sublime position for spiritual realization, all the demigods in heaven speak in this way. How wonderful it is for these human beings to have been born in the land of Bharatavarsha. They must have executed pious acts of austerity in the past, or the Supreme Personality of God Himself must have been pleased with them. Otherwise, how could they engage in devotional service in so many ways? We demigods can only aspire to achieve human births in Bharatavarsha, to execute devotional service, but these human beings are already engaged there. Purport. These facts are further explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita,
Bharat Bhumiti Hoyala Manushya Janma Jaya Janma Sartika Kari Karapara Upakar. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatvarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. There are many facilities in India, Bharatvarsha, for executing devotional service. In Bharatvarsha, all the acharyas contributed their experience, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appeared to teach the people of Bharatvarsha how to progress in spiritual life and be fixed in devotional service to the Lord. From all points of view, Bharatvarsha is the special land where one can very easily understand the process of devotional service and adopt it to make his life successful. If one makes his life successful in devotional service and then preaches devotional service in other parts of the world, people throughout the world will actually benefit. Text 22. The demigods continue, after performing the very difficult tasks of executing Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, undergoing austerities, observing vows and giving charity, we have achieved this position as inhabitants of the heavenly planets. But what is the value of this achievement? Here we are certainly very engaged in material sense gratification, and therefore we can hardly remember the lotus feet of Lord Narayana. Indeed, because of our excessive sense gratification, we have almost forgotten his lotus feet. Purport. The land of Bharatvarsha is so exalted that by taking birth there, one can not only attain the heavenly planets, but also go directly back home, back to Godhead. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yanti deva vrata deva pitrinyanti prativrata bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajinopimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts will live with me. Generally follow the Vedic principles and consequently perform great sacrifices by which they can be elevated to the heavenly planets. However, what is the use of such great attainments? As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Chine prunye marcha lokam vishanti. After the results of one's sacrifices, charity, and other pious activities expire, one must return to the lower planetary systems and again feel the pangs of birth and death. However, one who becomes Krishna conscious can go back to Krishna. Yanti mad yajinopimam. Therefore, the demigods even regret having been elevated to the higher planetary systems. The denizens of the heavenly planets regret that they could not take full advantage of being born in the land of Bharatvarsha. Instead, they become captivated by a higher standard of sense gratification, and therefore they forget the lotus feet of Lord Narayana at the time of death. The conclusion is that one who has taken birth in the land of Bharatvarsha must follow the instructions given personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yad gatva na nivartante tad dhamma paramam mama. One should try to return home back to Godhead, to the Vaikuntha planets, or to the topmost Vaikuntha planet, Goloka Vrindavan, to live eternally in full, blissful knowledge in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 23. A short life in the land of Bharatvarsha is preferable to a life achieved in Brahmaloka for millions and billions of years, because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, he must return to repeated birth and death. Although life in Bharatvarsha in a lower planetary system is very short, one who lives there can elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness and achieve the highest perfection, even in this short life, by fully surrendering under the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus one attains Vaikuntha Loka, where there is neither anxiety nor repeated birth in a material body.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
So is the benefit of living in Bharatvarsha, is it just by taking birth here you get so much sukriti? Or is it because the opportunity is the greatest here.
Has a lot to do with the structure of the universe. It's like a big building, and in every building there's an exit. If you're on the top floors, you got to come down here to get out. If you're on the bottom floors, you got to come up to the ground level to get out. So the Bharat Varsha is like the ground level, and this is where the exit is. Very specifically, the exit is from Vrindavan. That's like the gateway. From here, having Sankirtan here in Vrindavan is actually the direct route from here to Goloka Vrindavan.
That's described in the Brihadbhagavatamrita very, very clearly.
Yes, you know, although Gopakumar makes his sojourn all over the universe and various planets, and some of the places he goes, he finds association. And when he's accumulated to make his way back to Godhead, is to go to Vrindavan and perform Sankirtan.
Where he came from.
The human life is in this region is very special. As I mentioned, we read in the 11th canto a couple of years ago about how the human form is especially dear to Krishna. So if you're human, be happy. Krishna likes you.
Okay, text 23, purport. I'll read the purport, the translation again, because it was very, it promoted this discussion. A short life in the land of Bharatavarsha is preferable to a life achieved in Brahmaloka for millions and billions of years, because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, he must return to repeated birth and death. Although life in Bharatavarsha, any lower planetary system, is very short, one who lives there can elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness and achieve the highest perfection, even in this short life, by fully surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus one attains Vaikuntha Loka, where there is neither anxiety nor repeated birth in a material body. Purport. This is further confirmation of the statement given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bharata Bhumite Hoyla Manushta Janmajar Janma Sartaka Kari Karapara Upakar. One who has taken birth in the land of Bharatavarsha has a full opportunity to study the direct instructions given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, and thus finally decide what to do in his human form of life. One should certainly give up all other propositions and surrender to Krishna. Krishna will then immediately take charge and relieve one of the results of past sinful life. Aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshaye shamima shuchaha. Therefore, one should take to Krishna consciousness, as Krishna himself recommends. Manmana bhavamad bhakto majjajivam namaskuru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer me obeisances. This is very easy, even for a child. Why not take this path? One should try to follow the instructions of Krishna exactly, and thus become fully eligible to be promoted to the kingdom of God. Chaktvadeham punarjanma naitima miti sorjuna. One should go directly to Krishna and engage in his service. This is the best opportunity offered to the inhabitants of Bharatavarsha. One who is fit to return home back to Godhead is no longer liable to the results of karma, good or bad. Text 24. An intelligent person does not take interest in a place, even in the topmost planetary system, if the pure Ganges of topics concerning the Supreme Lord's activities does not flow there. If there are not devotees engaged in service on the banks of such a river of piety, or if there are no festivals of Sankirtan Yajna to satisfy the Lord, especially since Sankirtan Yajna is recommended in this age. Purport. Bharatavarsha, Bengal, the district of Nadia, is still better, and in Nadia, the best place is Navadvipa, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared there to inaugurate the performance of the sacrifice of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The Shastras recommend Krishtabam Kutra Krishna Sangopangas Taparshanam Jagyai Sankirtana Prayer
Yajanti hi sabedasaha. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always accompanied by his very confidential associates, such as Sri Nityananda, Sri Gadadhara, and Sri Advaita, and by many devotees like Srivas. They are always engaged in chanting the name of the Lord and are always describing Lord Krishna. Therefore, this is the best among all the places in the universe. The Krishna Consciousness Movement has established its center in Mayapur, the birth site of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to give men the great opportunity to go there and perform a constant festival of Sankirtan Yajna, as recommended herein, Yajnesha Makal Mahotsavaha, and to distribute prasad to millions of hungry people hankering for spiritual emancipation. This is the mission of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Chaitanya Bhagavata confirms this as follows. One should not desire to be elevated even to a place in the heavenly planetary systems if it has no propaganda to expand the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No trace of Vaishnavas, pure devotees of the Lord, and no festivals for spreading Krishna consciousness. It would be better to live perpetually cramped within the airtight bag of a mother's womb, where one can at least remember the lotus feet of the Lord, than to live in a place where there is no opportunity to remember his lotus feet. I pray not to be allowed to take birth in such a condemned place. Sure. Similarly, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the inaugurator of the Sankirtan movement, anyone who performs Sankirtana to please the Lord is very, very glorious. Such a person has perfect intelligence, whereas others are in the ignorance of material existence. Of all the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedic literatures, the performance of Sankirtana Yajna is the best. Even the performance of 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices cannot compare to the sacrifice of Sankirtana. According to the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, if one compares Sankirtana Yajna to other yajnas, he is a Pashandi, an infidel, and is liable to be punished by Yamaraj. There are many Mayavadis who think that the performance of Sankirtan Yajna is a pious activity similar to the performance of the Ashwamedha Yajna and is a Nama Aparadha. Chanting of the holy name of Narayana and chanting of other names are never equal, despite what the Mayavadis think.
When we were at Dhammeshwara Mahaprabhu and we were having Hare Krishna Kirtan, there was a whole bunch of Mayavadis there. Oh. And they were watching, but they couldn't chant. No. Then we started chanting the names of Nitai and Gaur, because we were doing Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Boli, and they went nuts. Yeah. They started like smiling, dancing, saying Nitai and stuff like
Jai.
That.
Jai.
They just saw like, Nitai was saying about, out of all the places, then the Bardvarsha, then Bengal, then Nadia. Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, when their names come out, then everyone just gets blissful for no reason.
Were you in Bengal?
Yeah, that's in Navadvip. You weren't there?
No, but I was just thinking that's so nice that everyone around there must know those names.
Yeah, I don't know about these Mayavadis. They look clueless to everything in the world. But it's just they got blissful. It was just noticeable, everyone saw it.
Well, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar were living in Varanasi, and then there was some, criticism of Lord Chaitanya, and they heard Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur, the leader of the Mayavadis there, the Mayavadi Sannyasi, speaking, they said he couldn't say the name of Krishna. But he could say the name Chaitanya, because Chaitanya they interpreted as meaning consciousness or some kind of impersonal, So, yeah, even the Mayavadis can say Chaitanya, and now, as Prabhupada said, Gaura Nitai. Okay, text 25. Bharatvarsha. Oops. Bharatvarsha.
We should sing that bhajan.
Confirmed. They're calling in from higher planets.
That's what the text says, that we should sing that bhajan right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Who said it?
No, just...
The devas. The one who takes birth time here.
Bharatvarsha offers the proper land and circumstances in which to execute devotional service, which can free one from the results of jnana and karma. If one obtains a human body in the land of Bharatvarsha with clear sensory organs with which to execute the Sankirtan Yajna, but in spite of this opportunity, he does not take to devotional service, he is certainly like liberated forest animals and birds that are careless and are therefore again bound by a hunter. Mm-hmm. Purport. In the land of Bharatvarsha, one can very easily perform the Sankirtan Yajna, which consists of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. Or one can perform other methods of devotional service, such as Smaranam, Vandanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, and Atmanivedanam. In Bharatvarsha, one has the opportunity to visit many holy places, especially Lord Chaitanya's birth sire, other than to execute. And one may thus become free from the bondage of material conditions. Other paths, such as the path of jnana and the path of karma, are not very profitable. Pious activities can elevate one to the higher planetary systems, and by speculative knowledge, one can merge into the Brahman existence. Thank you. Other paths, such as the path of jnana and the path of karma, are not very profitable. Pious activities can elevate one to the higher planetary systems, and by speculative knowledge, one can merge into the Brahman existence. But that is not real profit, for one has to come down again, even from the liberated condition of being merged in Brahman, and certainly one must come down from the heavenly kingdom. One should endeavor to go back home, back to Godhead. Yantimadyajinopimam. Otherwise there is no difference between human life and the lives of jungle animals and birds. Animals and birds also have freedom, but because of their lower birth, they cannot use it. Taking advantage of all the facilities offered him, a human being who has taken birth in the land of Bharatvarsha should become a fully enlightened devotee and go back home, back to Godhead. This is the subject matter of the Krishna consciousness movement. The inhabitants of places other than Bharatvarsha have facilities for material enjoyment, but they do not have the same facility to take to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised that one who has taken birth as a human being in Bharatvarsha must first realize himself as a part and parcel of Krishna, and after taking to Krishna consciousness, he must distribute this knowledge all over the world.
Reflections. Anyone? Yes, Divyanam.
Maharaj, I have a question also. Am I correct? Prabhupada also, another place, he mentioned that obviously we...
If I recall, we've learned, I remember before the world was kind of divided in terms of the names of what it is now with the continents and everything, the whole thing was known as Bharatvarsha. Am I correct?
You are correct.
So when Prabhupada is referring, is he specifically referring to India here, or is it?
In some of these, he's very specifically referring to India, but the general conversation here, Bharatvarsha, really means the region of the universe.
Okay.
In the purport coming, he's going to say, from Cape Comorin to the Himalayas. So this section specifically talking about India.
As we pointed out the other day, the other varshas, the other eight varshas,
all have a heavenly suffix, but only Bhajavarshi doesn't. And that's explained by Srila Prabhupada, acquire karma. And above, you're using up your good karma, and below, you're using up your bad karma.
Frequent flyer miles.
Frequent flyer miles. Or, yeah.
Okay.
So, and then, yeah, and then you have to come back here. And that's what Prabhu said. Therefore, it is the terminal, you know,
okay,
to directly go back to the spiritual world. In other places, they don't think about it.
Yes,
they're too busy enjoying or too busy suffering, or both.
Yes, ma'am.
There are subterranean heavenly planets which are even more opulent, and there's less suffering, as we heard in one part, that they live for a whole life without any kind of suffering at all, and then they just die. And there's no sense of death, therefore they can't take up spiritual life.
The subterranean hellish planets, they're worse than hell.
Yeah.
They're more opulent than the most opulent heavenly planet. But the hellish aspect of them is there's absolutely no remembrance at all of Krishna. So I was just writing a piece the other day about how you should be happy to be suffering. Rejoice in your suffering, because it's actually a gift that we get here in the middle area, where we're given just enough suffering so that we can remember the goal of life. Otherwise, as for a little jiva, once there's full facility, full tank of gas, refrigerator's full, got enough money in the tank, you start leaning out the window, driving with one, copping a lean with one hand, driving around. Hey, I got it made. What, to speak of the heavenly planets, you're going to live for a billion years, you have a credit card that you can spend $1 trillion on. Now try to think of Krishna.
Amazon.
Free Amazon card for $10 billion.
Thank you, Prabhu. That made me think of how great it is that we're in, like, how great it is that we're in Kali Yuga, and at the same time, Mahaprabhu's movement is happening, because it's so crazy, and it's so difficult to live in Kali Yuga, and there's so much, I don't know, mental distress, so much suffering. But then Mahaprabhu's movement is here, so it feels like we're kind of being driven into the shelter of the devotees.
Yeah, yeah. Think of it. What's the percentage of 500 to 8 billion, 640 million? That's where we are now. We've appeared on the earth 500 years after Lord Chaitanya appeared directly. So we're hearing from a person who was heard only 11 people removed from Lord Chaitanya.
Hare Krishna.
That's so good fortune. It's
176,000 people.
Much less than that. Much more than that.
This is a verse from Karabhajana. He says, Kalim sabhaja yantyarya guna gyasarabhagina yatra sankirtani naiva sarvaswarto bilabhyate. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga because it can be easily achieved. Case closed.
And,
yes.
And always remember what we're doing right here, right now, is Sankirtan. Prabhupada says many places in the book, I've been researching this for the last 5 years, many places Prabhupada says the chanting is Kirtan, the hearing is Kirtan, the reading is Kirtan, the distributing is Kirtan.
Mm-hmm.
Another relevant point Prabhupada is making, it's a little bit more shallow level, not so deep, but it's relevant. He's saying that the Vedic culture in India is dead, but still it's like dead elephant, because he's saying that the elephant is cost the same money when he's alive and when it's dead. And we can see this because even though it's dead, this perspective from the when experiencing and seeing what the remains of the Vedic culture gives us chance to understand anything. Otherwise, for some Westerner who haven't seen nothing besides some gender things and with all kinds of madness, it really gets harder and harder to grasp what's going on in Bhagavatam. So the dead elephant is... I've seen this personally. I experienced like so many things I realized by seeing like the local people doing things in certain way, and then you see, wow, this is so much superior culture than our Mlecha culture there.
Go for all the way back.
It seems like Srila Prabhupada is putting a lot of emphasis on people born in India to help propagate the Sankirtan movement.
Definitely. And I felt that this is an era that will be marked as the era that was the Sankirtan movement was saved by the people of India. Because all over the West, all the temples are being buoyed and lifted, not just buoyed, but lifted by the presence of these very highly qualified personalities. It's right there in the Bhagavatam, 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Karvajna Muni, when talking about Kali Yuga, says that there will be many extremely pious souls that will join the Sankirtan movement, and many of them will come from South India. Cover all over India, but he said a predominance of them will come from south, where there's the pious rivers are flowing and stuff. So Rick Warren, who has the biggest Baptist church in America, most successful and largest, in his book called The Purpose-Driven Church, he writes, he said he's surfed his whole life, you know, surfing on waves and stuff. He said, and so in growing the movement that he started, he said, I can't make waves. God makes the waves. I just have to learn how to ride them. So in a similar way, at different times, we have to see what is the wave that's coming. What facility is Krishna given? Instead of complaining about it and saying it's not like it was last year or the year before, take advantage of the kinds of things that Krishna's providing and make the best use of them.
Just noticing that Prabhupada, whenever he was speaking about the people in Bharatvarsha becoming Krishna conscious, and he says that it seems to equate that when someone becomes Krishna conscious, he has to preach. You know, they should realize themselves and go and preach. So I just think it's a nice reflection that, you know, if we are actually becoming Krishna conscious, it's measured by how much we are wanting to go out and preach and distribute the message. Otherwise...
Well, somebody might say
that's true for North America and the UK, but like the Slavic European places, there is no... practically no people from Bharatvarsha. So how do you take over?
All I meant was wherever you are, whatever facility is being presented at the time, you should take advantage of it. I mean, it's not an accident that all of a sudden in America there are the most highly qualified, not just from Bharatvarsha, but the cream of the crop. There are people who are most highly trained. They're the most intelligent, they went to the best schools, and then they just transfer themselves to the other continent, and they all just happen to be sitting there all at the same time. And they're all, 90% of them are pious, ready to take to Krishna consciousness. Is that like something to overlook? Like just a coincidence or something? Just like when we started the Motel Gita program, we looked at it and discovered that 65% of the motels and hotels are run by Gujaratis.
You just happen to swoon when you mention the name of Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. Was that like an accident? Or is it something we're supposed to take advantage of? But in every country, there's always a way to figure out to how to spread the Krishna conscious movement.
How to recognize the wave.
Who was it?
Recognize the wave. Right.
Who was it that asked Prabhupada if there were airports in Goloka?
I don't remember what Prabhupada said exactly, but they met and they asked where the airport's put here and so that we could distribute these books, and Prabhupada said yes. Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, the books came from, they came from the areas of the world where Prabhupada first went and got the books going, you know. And that's where it came from, and that's where all the countries of the world got the Krishna consciousness from the books.
And that brings us to the Gayatri break. We'll be back here at 25 after. Go Premanande.
We're continuing our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're now in the fifth canto, the 19th chapter, a description of the island of Jambudvip. And from what we've heard so far, we're on Jambudvip now. And it's a good place to be. So we can all be happy. It's the home of Jambu juice. In India, Bhartvarsha, there are many worshippers of the demigods. The various officials appointed by the Supreme Lord, such as Indra, Chandra, and Surya, all of whom are worshipped differently. In other words, they accept the demigods as different parts of Krishna and worship them for various benedictions. Although the devotees of the demigods thus achieve the desired results offered by Krishna, they have been described in Bhagavad Gita as hrita-jnana, not very intelligent. Krishna does not desire to be worshipped indirectly through the different parts of his body. Krishna wants direct devotional worship. Therefore, a devotee who directly worships Lord Krishna through staunch devotional service, as recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param, is very quickly elevated to the transcendental position. Nevertheless, the devotees who worship the demigods, the different parts of the Lord, receive the benedictions they desire because the Lord is the original master of all benedictions. If anyone wants a particular 27. If God fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives. That's the verse. Satyam dishat jartitam artito nirnam naivarta do yet punar artita yata soyam vidate bhajatam anichatam ichapitanam nijapada pallavam. The Supreme Personality of God fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives. But he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it, and that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. Purport. The devotees mentioned in the previous verse approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with material motives. But this verse explains how such devotees are saved from those desires. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10 advises, Akama sarvakamu va mukshakamu udarati tivrina bhakti yogina yajeta purusham param. Whether one is freed from all material desires, is full of material desires, or desires to become one with the Supreme, he should engage in devotional service. In this way, not only will the devotee's desires be fulfilled, but the day will come when he will have no other desire than to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. One who engages, even if somebody desires the desire, it's the same thing. Prabhupada wrote it in a letter. He said, if you desire to have pure devotional service, then there's no difference. You have pure devotional service. One who engages in the service of the Lord with some motive is called Sakama Bhakta. Here we go again. One who engages in the service of the Lord with some motive is called Sakama Bhakta. And one who serves the Lord without any motives is called Akama Bhakta. Krishna is so merciful that he turns a Sakama Bhakta into an Akama Bhakta. A pure devotee, an Akama Bhakta, who has no material motives, is satisfied simply to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 6:22. Yam labha cha param labham manyate nadikam tataha. If one engages in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he does not want anything more. This is the highest stage of devotional service. The Lord is so kind, even to a Sakama Bhakta, a motivated devotee, that he satisfies his desires in such a way that one day he becomes a Nakama Bhakta. Dhruva Maharaj, for example, became a Bhakta with the motive of getting a better kingdom than that of his father, but finally he became a Nakama Bhakta and said to the Lord, Swamin Kritartosmi Param Nayache. My dear Lord, I am very satisfied simply to serve your lotus feet. I do not want any material benefits. Sometimes it is found that a small child eats dirty things, but his parents take away the dirty things and offer him a sandesh or some other sweetmeat. Devotees who aspire for material benedictions are compared to such children. The Lord is so kind that therefore even for one other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must fully engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that all his desires will be fulfilled, and at the end he can go back home, back to Godhead. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita 22.37 through 39 and 41 as follows. Anyakami, a devotee may desire something other than service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Jadi kari Krishna bhajan. But if he engages in Lord Krishna's service, na magi teha Krishna tare dena shwacharano. Krishna gives him shelter at his lotus feet, even though he does not aspire for it. Krishna kohi. The Lord says, I'm a bhaje. He is engaged in my service. Magi bishai shuk. But he wants the benefits of material sense gratification. Amrita chadi bisha mage. Such a devotee is like a person who asks for poison instead of nectar. A bando murk. A bando murk. That is his foolishness. Ami bigna. But I am experienced. A murke bishai kene dibo. Why should I give such a foolish person the dirty things of material enjoyment? Shwa charano mruto. It would be better for me to give him shelter at my lotus feet. Bishaya bulaibo. I shall cause him to forget all material desires. Kamo lagi Krishna bhaji. If one engages in the service of the Lord for sense gratification, pai Krishna rashe. The result is that he ultimately gets a taste for serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Kamo chadi dash hoite hoy abhilashe. He then gives up all material desires and wants to become an eternal servant of the Lord. This part of, where's Radhika, part of your thesis paper? The fallacy of the Sakama devotee. Right?
Yeah.
Text 28. We are now living in the heavenly planets, undoubtedly as a result of our having performed ritualistic ceremonies, pious activities, and yajnas, and having studied the Vedas. However, our lives here will one day be finished. We pray that at that time, if any merit remains from our pious activities, we may again take birth in Bharatvarsha, as human beings able to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord is so kind that he personally comes to the land of Bharatvarsha and expands the good fortune of its people. Purport, it is certainly as a result of pious activities that one takes birth in the heavenly planets. But from those planets, one must nevertheless come down again to earth, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Shinye Punye Martya Lokam Vishanti. Even the demigods must return to earth to work like ordinary men when the results of their pious activities expire. Nevertheless, the demigods desire to come to the land of Bharatvarsha, in other words, to do more pious activities than the demigods. Nevertheless, the demigods desire to come to the land of Bharatvarsha if even a small portion of the merits of their pious activities remain. In other words, to take birth in Bharatvarsha, one must perform more pious activities than the demigods. In Bharatvarsha, one is naturally Krishna conscious, and if one further cultivates its Krishna consciousness, by the grace of Krishna, he certainly expands his good fortune by becoming perfect in Krishna consciousness and very easily going back home, back to Godhead. In many other places in the Vedic literature, it is found that even the demigods want to come to this land of Bharatvarsha. A foolish person may desire to be promoted to the heavenly planets as a result of his pious activities, but even the demigods from the heavenly planets want to come to Bharatvarsha and achieve bodies that may be very easily used to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu repeatedly says, Bharata bhumite hoila manusha janmajar, janma sarta kari kara para upakar. A human being born in the land of Bharatvarsha has the special prerogative to develop Krishna consciousness. Therefore, those already born in Bharatvarsha should take lessons from the Shastras and Guru and should fully take advantage of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to be fully equipped with Krishna consciousness. By taking full advantage of Krishna consciousness, one goes back home, back to Godhead. Yanti madhyajinopi mam. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore spreading this facility to human society by opening many, many centers all over the world so that people may associate with the pure devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement, understand the science of Krishna consciousness, and only ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. Yes, Prabhu?
You know, when I hear the descriptions about how auspicious it is to take birth in Bharatvarsha,
yes,
I'm always thinking, you know, that we meet so many unsavory characters, you know, like very, very...
Where?
In the streets, in Brooklyn, you know, in the West.
We always find nice people.
Yeah.
Every once in a while is an unsavory character, but they're rare.
I'm not meaning that when I'm doing Sankirtan, I meet them, but I see them. It's so many like bad people in Kali Yuga now, you see them in the internet, you know, all these.
They're just like that on the outside. Most of them, they're really pious, and they're eager to take to Krishna consciousness, or they're really like kind of just confused and lost, and they just need a little direction, that's all.
All bad people on the internet.
They're not very bad. They're just a little mixed up. That's my humble opinion. I mean, that's my experience. But, you know, Kali Yuga, there's so many worse demons in other ages. Just now, people of the world are looking for answers. Innocent people, right?
Misled.
Just misled, yeah. But they're not so bad. Even in the most degraded places, you find like these really pious people.
Mm. I agree with that. I mean, I find that most people are innocent, but yet we find some people who are very, very impious. How did they take birth in Bharatvarsha?
Well, it's described in the Bhagavatam that even in the heavenly planets, which is predominantly immune from the tamogun, because the modes, as Krishna says in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, are always fighting for supremacy. And there's no stable place anywhere in the material world. There's no place where you can say, here's, I can rest here, I won't be affected. But anybody in any place can be affected by the lower modes of material nature. And definitely in Kali Yuga they get it. But sometimes those people become, you know, the most amenable to Krishna consciousness. Quick one, yeah?
Yeah, I was just
just reminded me of a point that we kind of ran into earlier that was saying that something about how I heard it brought up before, that in the heavenly planets or the hellish planets, you don't accumulate or any kind of karma. If that's the case, then how do we explain situations like the sin of Indra? So Indra was, you know, he gathered that sin and then he shared it with the four different, the earth, the water, the women, and the
trees.
Yeah, so how is that possible if there's no karma accumulated in the heavenly planets?
Obviously different kind of, different, referring to a different category of things.
Absolutely, and he's distributing it to those living entities, you know, in different places, not just in the heavenly planets.
Anyway, Bhargavarsha.
That's towards the beginning of the universe. Also, thing to consider.
Main point is you're already in, you're in Jambudvip now, and so you're in the bonus round. You're in the power play. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, in the opinion of some learned scholars, eight smaller islands surround Jambudvip. When the sons of Maharaj Sagara were searching all over the world for their lost horse, they dug up the earth, and in this way, eight adjoining islands came into existence. The names of these islands are Swarnaprastha, Chandra Shukla, Avartana, Ramanaka, Mandara Harina, Panchajanya, Simhala, and Lanka." Got all those?
Yeah.
Okay. Purport. In the Kurma Purana, there is this statement about the desires of the demigods. Ready to hear about the desires of the demigods? If so, say yes.
Yes.
Anadi Karino Deva Swargasta Bharato Bhavam Vachantyatma Vimoktarta Mudre Karte Dikarinaha. Although the demigods are situated in exalted positions in the heavenly planets, they nevertheless desire to descend to the land of Bhartvarsha on the planet Earth. This indicates that even the demigods are unfit to reside in Bhartvarsha. Therefore, if persons already born in Bhartvarsha live like cats and dogs, not taking full advantage of their birth in this land, they're certainly unfortunate. I mean, you know, it's a fortunate position, but it doesn't mean people don't have free will to blow it. And also, you know, we can't always see how pious people are or aren't. For instance, the Bhagavatam says, "Aho bata shwa pachato gariyan ya jivagre vartite namatubhyam te pusta paste," etc. And that describing how somebody can say how Vedic rituals they, you know, and so how many people we meet in the West and everywhere else, it's so easy for them to chant.
And another point is that when we meet people who seem to us to be very, very poor and very niggardly and very, you know, and you look in their faces, and they're not nearly as much in anxiety as some of the, you know, wealthier and so-called civilized people in the West, you know.
That's true.
Absolutely. Text 31. Anybody game?
Yeah.
You game? You ready for it?
We're ready.
Anybody who doesn't want to go to 31, raise your hand. Okay. It's the last verse.
The daily double.
This is your daily double. Go ahead. Go ahead. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. This is the program.
You can do it simultaneously.
Okay. As long as I get it afterwards.
No.
No way.
You use up your pious gratitude. We're out of Jambudvip after this chapter. My dear King Parikshit, best of the descendants of Bharat Maharaj, I have thus described to you, as I myself have been instructed, the island of Bhartvarsha and its adjoining islands. These are the islands that constitute Jambudvip. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 19th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled
a description of the island of Jambudvipa. Oh.
I wouldn't even have gotten a purport. You try to cheat me out of the whole thing. Jets. There, you know. Jeez.
Well, bring your attorney.
Chapter 20. Studying the structure of the universe. Bring your stethoscopes and slide rules and let's go. Text 1. The great sage Shukadeva Goswami said, "Hereafter, I shall describe the dimensions, characteristics, and forms of the six islands, beginning with the island of Plaksha." Text 2. As Sumera Mountain is surrounded by Jambudvipa, Jambudvipa is also surrounded by an ocean of salt water. The breadth of Jambudvipa is 1,000 yojanas, 100,000 yojanas, 800,000 miles, and the breadth of the saltwater ocean is the same. As a moat around a fort is sometimes surrounded by garden-like forest, the saltwater ocean surrounding Jambudvipa, the breadth of Plaksha is saltwater ocean, in other words, 200,000 yojanas, 1,600,000 miles. On Plaksha Dweep, there is a tree shining like gold and as tall as the Jambu tree on Jambu Dweep. At its root is a fire with seven flames. It is because this tree is a Plaksha tree that the island is called Plaksha Dweep. What happened to that thing? It helped me. I have a tendency to pop a lot.
It's in the back.
Really?
Yeah.
What's going back there?
Bottom cover. Fell off.
It's in the bottom of a bag and the bottom of the thing and the bottom of the thing. Really?
I'll get it for you if you like.
Sounds pretty like buried to me. Sounds not pretty possible.
Back cupboard, bottom shelf, left hand side, little tiny you know what it is, right?
If you find this, you get some kind of what kind of juice?
Jambu juice.
You get a jambu juice. Didn't they have some kind of? Did they have a
left?
No.
Other left.
No, that's it. Bottom shelf. It's just sitting right there.
Really? I can't believe you moved it all the way over there.
Somebody's got to get a jambu juice.
Well, it's easy. Put it on for you.
Relax.
Okay, go ahead.
See how much better that is. Huh? The breadth of Plaksha Dweepa, the breadth of Plaksha Dweepa is twice that of the saltwater ocean. In other words, 200,000 yojanas, 1,600,000 miles. On Plaksha Dweepa, there is a tree shining like gold and as tall as the jambu tree on Jambudvipa. At its root is a fire with seven flames. It is because this tree is a Plaksha tree that the island is called Plaksha Dweepa. Plaksha Dweepa was governed by Idmajiva, one of the sons of Maharaj Priyavrata. He endowed the seven islands with the names of his seven sons, divided the islands among the sons, and then retired from active life to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Text 3 and 4. The seven islands, Varshas, are named according to the names of those seven sons, Shiva, Yavasa, Subhadra, Shanta, Chema, Amrita, and Abhaya. In those seven tracts of land, there are seven mountains and seven rivers. The mountains are named Manikuta, Bajrakuta, Indrasena, Jyotishman, Suparna, Hiranyavastiva, Hiranyastiva, and Megamala. And the rivers are named Aruna, Rimna, Angirasi, Savitri, Suptabhata, Ritambhara, and Satyambhara. One can immediately be freed from material contamination by touching or bathing in those rivers. And the four castes of people who live in Plakshadweep, the Hungsas, Patangas, purify themselves in that way. For 1,000 years, they are beautiful like the demigods, and they also beget children like the demigods. By completely performing the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas, and by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead as represented by the sun god, they attain the sun, which is a heavenly planet. Purport. According to a general understanding, there are originally three deities, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva. And people with a poor fund of knowledge consider Lord Vishnu no better than Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. This conclusion, however, is invalid. As stated in the Vedas, Ishtapurtam Bahuda Jayamanam Vishwam Bibharti Bhuvanasya Navi Tad Evagnis Tad Vayus Tad Suryas Tad Uchandamaha Agni Sarvadhaivataha. This means that the Supreme Lord, who accepts and enjoys the results of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, technically called Ishtapurtam, who maintains the entire creation, who supplies the necessities of all living entities, Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman, and who is the central point of all creation, is Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu expands as the demigods known as Agni, Vayu, Surya, and Chandra, who are simply parts and parcels of his body. Lord Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Devotees who worship the demigods with firm faith worship me also, but not according to regulated principles. In other words, if one worships the demigods but does not understand the relationship between the demigods and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his worship is irregular. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham hi sarvajnanam bhokta cha prabodeva cha. I am the only enjoyer of ritualistic ceremonies. It may be argued that the demigods are as important as Lord Vishnu because the names of the demigods are different names of Vishnu. This, however, is not a sound conclusion, for it is contradicted in the Vedic literatures. The Vedas declare, we'll skip that one. Well, that may not too bad. Chandrama manaso jatas chaksho suryo ajayata shutra nayascha manascha mukhad agnir ajayata narayanat brahma narayanat rudyo jayate narayanat prajapati jayate narayanat indro jayate narayanat astro vasavo jayate narayanat ikadasha rudra jayate. Well done, gentlemen. Well done. The demigod of the moon, Chandra, came from the mind of Narayana, and the sun god came from his eyes. The controlling deities of hearing and the life air, fire, was generated. Lord Brahma came from Narayana, Indra came from Narayana, and the eight Vasus, the 11 expansions of Lord Shiva, and the 12 Adityas, also came from Narayana. In the Smriti Vedic literature, it is also said, Brahmasam bhushtatai varkash chandramascha shatakrutuhu evam adyastatai yanye yukta vaishnavatejasa jagat karya vasane tu viyujyante nachejasa vidijash tutita sarve panchatvam upayantite. Brahma, Shambhu, Surya and Indra are all merely products of the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also true of the many other demigods whose names are not mentioned here. When the cosmic manifestation is annihilated, these different expansions of Narayana's potencies will merge into Narayana. In other words, all these demigods will die. Their living force will be withdrawn and they will merge into Narayana. Therefore, it should be concluded that Lord Vishnu, not Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As a government officer is sometimes accepted as the entire government, although he is actually but a departmental manager, so the demigods, having achieved power of attorney from Vishnu, act on his behalf, although they are not as powerful as he. All the demigods must work under the orders of Vishnu. Therefore it is said, Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arla Sabha Vritya. The only master is Lord Krishna, or Lord Vishnu, and all others are his obedient servants, who act exactly according to his orders. The distinction between Lord Vishnu and the demigods is also expressed in Bhagavad Gita 9.25. Yanti deva vritha devan pitrinyanti priti vritha bhutani yanti bhukeja yanti madhya jinopimam. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, whereas the worshippers of Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu go to the planets in Vaikuntha. These are the statements of the Smriti. Therefore, the idea that
Lord... Shouldn't those be capitalized for you? Mine is...
Okay. Say that again?
Those who worship the demigods.
There it is. Should be.
Yes, it should be. Correct. Write it down. Thank you very much. Good catch, as Dravida would say. Therefore, the idea that Lord Vishnu is on the same level as the demigods is in contradiction to the Shastras. The demigods are not supreme. The supremacy of the demigods is dependent on the mercy of Lord Narayana, Vishnu, or Krishna. Text 5. This is the mantra by which the inhabitants of Plakshadweep worship the Supreme Lord. Let us take shelter of the sun god, who is a reflection of Lord Vishnu, the all-expanding Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-worshipable Lord. He is the origin of all auspicious and inauspicious results. Purport. Lord Vishnu is even the Supreme Lord of Death, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mrityu Sarvaharas Chaham. There are two kinds of activity, auspicious and inauspicious, and both are controlled by Lord Vishnu. Inauspicious activities are said to be behind Lord Vishnu, whereas auspicious activities stand before him. The auspicious and the inauspicious exist throughout the entire world, and Lord Vishnu is the controller of them both, you make to your point. In regard to this verse, Srila Madhvacharya says, Surya Somagni Bhadisha Vidat Stru Vidat Trishu Yatakramam Plakshadi Dvipasangstasu Sitam Hadimupasate. Yeah, they're getting tired, you can tell.
Who?
Everybody.
No way.
Really?
They're not tired.
Really? Everybody's tired? Mm-hmm. Is it just me? There are many lands. Okay, anybody who's not tired, stand up. See? See? They're all just... Okay. Nice. Thank you. I'm completely convinced. There are many lands, fields, mountains, and oceans throughout the creation, and everywhere the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by his different names. Srila Viraraghava Acharya explains this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. The original cause of the cosmic manifestation must be the oldest person and must therefore be beyond material transformations. He is the enjoyer of all auspicious activities and is the cause of conditional life and also liberation. The demigod Surya, who is categorized as a very powerful jiva, or living entity, is a representation of one of the parts of his body. We are naturally subordinate to powerful living entities, and therefore we can worship the various demigods as living beings who are powerful representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although the worship of the sun god is recommended in this mantra, he is worshipped not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but as his powerful representative. In the Katha Upanishad, it is said, Vritam bhimantau sukritasya loke guham pavishtau parame pralarde chayatta pao brahmibhido vadanti panchagnayo ichati vachiketaha. He got it right. O Nachiketa, the expansions of Lord Vishnu as the tiny living entity and the super soul are both situated within the cave of the heart of this body. Having entered that cavity, the living entity, resting on the chief of the life airs, enjoys the results of activities, and the super soul, acting as witness, enables him to enjoy them. Those who are well versed in knowledge of Brahman and those householders who carefully follow the Vedic regulations say so, and the sun. O Upanishad, it is said, Savishvakrit Vishwavidat Mayoni Yakalakaro Goni Sarvid Yaha Pradana Chetra Yapatir Gunesha Sansara Moksha Sidibanda Hetuhu. The Supreme Lord, the creator of this cosmic manifestation, knows every nook and corner of his creation. Although he is the cause of creation, there is no cause for his appearance. He is fully aware of everything. He is the Supersoul, the master of all transcendental qualities, and he is the master of this cosmic manifestation in regard to bondage to the conditional state of material existence and liberation from that bondage. Similarly, in the Taittiriya Upanishad, it is said, Bishmasmad bhatak bhavate vishoditi suryaha vishasmad agnishchandrascha mrityurdhavati panchamaha. It is out of fear of the Supreme Brahman that the wind is blowing, out of fear of him that the sun regularly rises and sets, and out of fear of him that fire acts. It is only due to fear of him that death and Indra, the king of heaven, perform their respective duties. As described in this chapter, the inhabitants of the five islands, beginning with Plakshadweep, worship the sun god, the moon god, the fire god, the air god, and Lord Brahma, respectively. Although they engage in the worship of these five demigods, however, they actually worship Lord Vishnu, the supersoul of all living entities, as indicated in this verse by the words, Pratnasya Vishnu Rupam. Vishnu is Brahma, Amrita, Mrityu, the Supreme Brahman and the origin of everything, auspicious and inauspicious. He is situated in the heart of everyone, including all the demigods. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kamaistastaritjnana prapadyantena devataha. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto the demigods. People who are almost blind because of lusty desires are recommended to worship the demigods who have their material desires, to have their material desires fulfilled. But actually, those desires are not fulfilled by the material demigods. Whatever the demigods do is done with the sanction of Lord Vishnu. People who are too lusty worship various demigods instead of worshipping Lord Vishnu, the Supersoul of all living entities. But ultimately, it is Lord Vishnu they worship because he is the Supersoul of all demigods.
Six. O King, longevity, sensory prowess, physical and mental strength, intelligence, and bravery are naturally and equally manifested in all the inhabitants of the five islands headed by Plakshadweep.
Lakshadweep is surrounded by an ocean of sugarcane juice, equal in breadth to the island itself. Similarly, there is another island, Sarvasura Sagara, the king of all birds and carrier of Lord Vishnu. In that tree, Garuda offers Lord Vishnu his Vedic prayers. 9. The son of Maharaj Priyavrata, named Jigyabahu, the master of Shalmali Dweep, divided the island into 7 tracts of land, which he gave to his 7 sons. The names of those divisions, which correspond to the names of the sons, are Surochana, Saumanyasya, Ramanaka, Devavarsha, Paribhadra, Apyayana, and Avigyata. In those tracts of land, there are 7 mountains, Swarasa, Shatashringa, Vamadev, Kunda, Mukunda, Pushpavarsha, and Sahasrashuti. That's cool, Sahasrashuti. There are also 7 rivers, Anumati, Shinivali, Saraswati, Kuhu, Rajani, Nanda, and Raka. They are still existing. Sahasrashuti. Keep going. Sure. Strictly following the cult of Varnashrama Dharma, the inhabitants of those islands, who are known as Shrutidharas, Viryadharas, Vasundharas, and Ishandharas, all worship the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead named Soma, the moon god. The inhabitants of Shalmali Dweep worship the demigod of the moon in the following words. By his own rays, the moon god has divided the month into 2 fortnights, known as Shukla and Krishna, for the distribution of food grains to the pitas and the demigods. The demigod of the moon is he who divides time, and he is the king of all the residents of the universe. We therefore pray that he may remain our king and guide, and we offer him our respectful obeisances. Outside the ocean of liquor is another island known as Kushadweep, which is 800,000 yojanas, 6,400,000 miles wide, twice as wide as the ocean of liquor. As Shalmali Dweep is surrounded by a liquor ocean, Kushadweep is surrounded by an ocean of liquid ghee, as broad as the island itself. On Kushadweep, there are clumps of Kusha grass, from which the island takes its name. This Kusha grass, which was created by the demigods by the will of the Supreme Lord, appears like the second form of fire, but with very mild and pleasing flames. Its young shoots illuminate all directions. Purport. From the descriptions in this verse, we can make an educated guess about the nature of the flames on the moon. Like the sun, the moon must also be flames, because without flames there cannot be full of flames, because without flames there cannot be illumination. Shukomala, the Kusha grass illuminates all directions, but its flames are very mild and pleasing. This gives some idea of the flames existing on the moon. 14. O King, another son of Maharaj Priyavrata, Hiranyarita, was the king of this island. He divided it into 7 parts, which he delivered to his 7 sons according to the rites of inheritance. The king then retired from family life to engage in austerities. The name of those sons are Vasu, Vasudhana, Dridharuchi, Stutyavrata, Nabhigupta, Vivikta, and Vamadev. 15. In those 7 islands, there are 7 boundary mountains known as Chakra, Chatushringa, Kapila, Chitrakuta, Devanika, Urdhvaroma, and Dravina. There are also 7 rivers known as Ramakulya, Madhukulya, Mitravinda, Shutavindra, Devagarbha, Grita Chuta, and Mantramala. Siddhin. running out the clock. The inhabitants of the island of Kushadweep are celebrated as the Kushalas, Kovidas, Abhiyuktas, and Kulakas. They are like the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, respectively. By bathing in the waters of those rivers, they all become purified. They are expert in performing ritualistic ceremonies according to the orders of the Vedic scriptures. Thus, they worship the Lord in his aspect as a demigod of fire. This is the mantra by which the inhabitants of Kushadweep worship the fire god. O fire god, you are a part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, and you carry to him all the offerings of sacrifices. Therefore, we request you to offer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead the yajnic ingredients we are offering the demigods, for the Lord is the real enjoyer. Purport, the demigods are servants who assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one worships the demigods, as servants of the Supreme, carry the sacrificial offerings to the Lord, like tax collectors collecting revenue from the citizens and bringing it to the government's treasury. The demigods cannot accept the sacrificial offerings. They simply carry the offerings to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Yasya Prasadad Bhagava Prasadad. Since the Guru is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he carries to the Lord whatever is offered to him. Similarly, all the demigods, as faithful servants of the Supreme Lord, hand over to the Supreme Lord whatever is offered to them in sacrificial performances. There is no fault in worshipping the demigods with this understanding, but to think that the demigods are independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and equal to him is called hrita jnana, a loss of intelligence. Kamais taiste hrita jnana, one who thinks that the demigods themselves outside the island, known as Kshatriyadweep, our favorite, which has a width of 1,600,000 yojanas, 12,800,000 miles, twice the width of the ocean of clarified butter. As Kshatriyadweep is surrounded by an ocean of clarified butter, Kshatriyadweep is surrounded by an ocean of milk, as broad as the island itself. On Kshatriyadweep, there is a great mountain known as Kshatriya, from which the island takes its name. Although the vegetables living on the slopes of Mount Kshatriya were attacked and devastated by the weapons of Kartikeya, the mountain has become fearless because it is always bathed on all sides by the ocean of milk and protected by Varuna Dev, part of the vegetable tribes. The ruler of this island was another son of Maharaj Priyavrata. His name was Gritaprishta, and he was a very learned scholar. He also divided his own island among his seven sons. After dividing the island into seven parts, named according to the names of his sons, Gritaprishta Maharaj completely retired from family life and took shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, the soul of all souls, who has all auspicious qualities. Thus he attained perfection. That's 5/20/21. That's what we got to go to. 27.
Yeah, most of it.
We got 30 seconds to make it there. The sons of Maharaj Gritaprishta were named Ama, Madhuruha, Megaprishta, Sudhama, Rajishta, Lohitarana, and Vanaspati. In their island, there are seven mountains which indicate the borders of the seven tracts of land, and there are also seven rivers. The mountains are named Shukla, Vardhamana, Bhojana, Upabarhina, Nanda, Nandana, and Sarvatobhadra.
Sarvatobhadra.
The rivers are named Abhaya, Amritauga, Aryaka, Tirthavati, Rupavati, Pavitravati, and Shukla. The inhabitants of Kshatriyadweep are divided into four castes called the Purushas, Rishabhas, Dravinas, and Devakas. Using the waters of those sanctified rivers, they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by offering a palmful of water at the lotus feet of Varuna, the demigod who has a form of water. Purport. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Apomaya Asmayam. With joint palms, the inhabitants of the various sections of Kramchadweep offer the sanctified waters of the rivers to a deity made of stone or iron. The inhabitants of Kramchadweep worship with this mantra, O water of the rivers, you have obtained energy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you purify the three planets, Loka. By your constitution, why we are touching you, kindly continue to purify us. Purport. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhumirapo nalo vayu kamano buddhir evacha amkara iti amme bina prakriti rashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, altogether these eight comprise my separated material energies. The energy of the Lord acts throughout the creation just as heat and light, the energies of the sun, act within the universe to make everything work. The specific rivers mentioned in the Shastras are also energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and people who regularly bathe in them are purified. It can actually be seen that many people are cured of diseases simply by bathing in the Ganges. Similarly, the inhabitants of Kramchadweep purified themselves by bathing in the rivers there. 24. Outside the ocean of milk is another island, Shakadweep, which has a width of 3,200,000 yojanas. As Kramchadweep is surrounded by its own ocean of milk, Shakadweep is surrounded by an ocean of churned yogurt as broad as the island itself. In Shakadweep, there is a big shaka tree, from which the island takes its name. This tree is very fragrant. Indeed, it lends its scent to the entire island. 25. The master of this island, also one of the sons of Priyavrata, was known as Medatiti. He also divided his island into seven sections, named according to the names of his own sons, whom he made the kings of that island. The names of those sons are Purojava, Manojava, Pavamana, Dumranika, Chitrarepa, Bahurupa, and Vishvadhara. After dividing the island and situating his sons as its rulers, Medatiti personally retired, and to fix his mind completely on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he entered a forest suitable for meditation. 26. For these lands also, there are seven boundary mountains and seven rivers. The mountains are Ishana, Urushringa, Balabhadra, Shatakeshara, Sahasra Srota, Devapala, and Mahanasa. The rivers are Anagha, Ayurda, Ubayasprishti, Aprajita, Panchapadi, Sahasrashruti. Hey, Sahasrashruti. Nidradriti. What?
This is Sahasrashruti.
And there was a Sahasrashruti. And the last verse for the day? Oh, my computer just went out. Sorry, just kidding. The inhabitants of those islands are also divided into four castes. Ritavrata, Satyavrata, Dhanavrata, and Anuvrata, which exactly resemble Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. They practice pranayama and mystic yoga, and in trance they worship the Supreme Lord in the form of Vayu. And thus ends today's here in the live. As a thank everyone who joined us online from various parts around the world, we felt your presence and we deeply appreciate being connected with you in this auspicious activity. We will be taking this up again tomorrow morning starting at 10:45 a.m. Please feel free to join us right here in the live Govardhan studios at the foot of Govardhan Hill. Thank you very much. Go Premanande. Dita Gaura Haribo. 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 Dita Gaura Haribo. Dita Gaura Haribo. Haribo. Haribo.
Natural Marman.